Let's Face the Issues is a daily broadcast ministry of First Conservative Baptist Church with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood. Dr. Youngblood is also the founder, president of Conservative Theological University. Let's Face the Issues broadcast deals with real issues facing our culture today from a biblical perspective. God created three institutions, the home, government, and the church. Therefore, any issue that is harmful or has a negative impact on either of these institutions will be carefully dealt with and confronted from a biblical worldview. Too often, good people are afraid to confront serious issues that are attacking the church, the home, and Christians. We must stand against the enemies of the family and the church. Tune in each day for another broadcast of Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood. Here is Dr. Youngblood with Let's Face the Issues.
Thank you so much, ladies and gentlemen, for joining us today. This is Dr. Youngblood. You're tuned in to another broadcast of Let's Face the Issues. It is our joy to have you participate in this dialogue and discussion each day as we face issues. And may I remind us, and you've heard me say this many times, when we talk about issues, we're talking about so often what the world would call problems and difficulties and situations. We just call them issues because in life, each of us will face a variety of issues, sometimes daily, sometimes at some point in our lives will be different issues that many times will seem insurmountable. But we go to the Word of God, and God's Word is the answer. God's Word has the answer. God's Word is the source because God's Word is truth. Jesus said to his disciples, "If you continue in my word, then you're my disciples indeed. And you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free." And then in John 17:17, Jesus said, "Thy word is truth." And so, ladies and gentlemen, when we face issues, we do so based on the authority of the Scripture, not based on an individual's ideological philosophy, not based on a dogma of rites, rituals, rules, and regulations from some denomination, but based on the Word of God. God's Word has the answer for life. Before we get into the dialogue and discussion today, let me remind us that you have an open invitation to worship with us at First Conservative Baptist Church. We're located 1 mile south of I-295, right here in the heart of Mandarin, 12021 Old St. Augustine Road. It's about 3 miles north of the 95 St. Augustine Road exit and 1 mile south of 295, right here in the heart of Mandarin. First Conservative Baptist Church services, Sunday morning at 9:45, at 10:45, at 9:30 is the Bible study, 10:45 is the worship service on Sunday mornings, and at 7 p.m. on Sunday evening. Let me give you that time again for clarification. 9:30 is Bible study, as some call it Sunday school. Then at 10:45 is the morning worship, and at 7 p.m. evening worship. We have the old-fashioned gospel singing right from the hymnal. Many times we have those in society today that are Christians never heard, never sung, the old gospel songs that are so meaningful, filled with spiritual insight and spiritual direction for our lives. And then verse by verse, chapter by chapter study in the Word of God. We look forward to having you worship with us even this Sunday. We've met you by way of radio. We'd love to meet you in person and have you to participate in one of the worship services with us. If you're looking for a church home, we invite you also to consider that. We are delighted to have those that come into the fellowship begin to take up the encouragement and the hope that we have in the ministry and reach out and impacting others with the gospel of Jesus Christ. Ladies and gentlemen, we're going to be talking about a subject today that some would call, what is the term you use, hot potato? Some are fearful of touching this issue, but it's a biblical, has a biblical solution, resolution to the issue. Let me remind us also, ladies and gentlemen, you can jump in this dialogue and discussion at any point in time by dialing 401-1413, 904-401-1413. Get you straight through to the studio and right to the microphones so that we can have discussion together on this very imperative, important, crucial issue, political racism. Let me just give you a little blurb from an article, Answers in Genesis magazine. The founder of Answers in Genesis and the publisher of Answers in Genesis, that's a monthly publication called Answers in Genesis magazine. It's by Ken Ham. Ken Ham is one of the foremost in relationship to biblical creation and what the scripture says in relationship to the universality of the Genesis flood. And Ken Ham says this: terms like racism, prejudice, black race, and white race are common in news media today. How should God's people respond to the matters of race? End quote. May I simply say, ladies and gentlemen, indeed, we're witnessing what I call a residue of the Obama administration today. Because it was in the Obama administration, there was a program of diversity and division with the intent of destroying and by way of conquering the citizens. It seems that there is an unannounced political socialist plot today to cause another civil war in America. There is that subtle and yet now today not so subtle emphasis on racial divisiveness, a purposeful, intentional, designed plan to divide the human race. May I remind us, ladies and gentlemen, just as in Ken Ham's on the front page of Answers in Genesis, and I'll read you further portions of that in a moment during the course of this broadcast. He has one of the best insights, I believe, on the subject of anybody that I have read behind. But ladies and gentlemen, God's word is very, very clear. It's one family, one race, one Savior. In fact, ladies and gentlemen, we have one race. It's called the human race. The blood flowing in your veins, the blood flowing in my veins, the blood flowing in every vein of every human being on the face of the globe today is the same blood that was in the veins of Adam and Eve. It is that Adamic blood, the fallen sin nature blood. We have the same sin problem. We have the same heart problem. We all are answerable to the same Savior. We're all answerable for the life's choices that we make. But yet, ladies and gentlemen, some of the latest political hacks are found in our colleges and universities today. In fact, I have an article here in my hand that is a frightening article. Title of the article says, "Can My Children Be Friends with White People?" And this, ladies and gentlemen, was an article, an op-ed, published by the New York Times by a professor at the Yeshiva University. And I find it frightening that a hack newspaper would print such diatribe. This article says, and let me just give you a little blurbs from it. This professor writing, his name is Ignon Yanka, Y-A-N-K-A-H, Yanka. "My oldest son, wrestling with a four-year-old's happy struggles, is trying to clarify how many people can be his best friends. Quote, my best friends are my mommy, my daddy, and my brother. And he goes on to say, but even a child's joy is not immune to the ominous political period. Now, listen, ladies and gentlemen, this is a professor that hates Donald J. Trump, one of those that's on board calling President Trump a racist. And all of the decisions that's made for the news media today, the fake news, and all of those op-eds that they have, and now the latest is by an unknown, unannounced individual that's written an op-ed talking about the chaos in the White House, published by New York Times, but it's an unknown, unnamed author. But in this article, it says, it is impossible to convey the mixture of heartbreak and fear that I feel for him. This is this professor at Yeshiva University in his op-ed with New York Times. He goes on to say, Donald Trump's election has made it clear that I will teach my boys the lesson generations old, one that is for the most part nearly escaped. I will teach them to be cautious. I will teach them suspicion. I will teach them to distrust. Much sooner than I had thought I would, I will have to discuss with my boys whether they can trust and or truly be friends with any white people." End quote. Now, ladies and gentlemen, if that's not divisive, nothing is. If that is not a purposeful, fake news, political hack story, nothing is. Because there's the mantra today in the mindset that let's all jump on the bandwagon and hatred and demeaning statements and printed demeaning articles about President Trump. Ladies and gentlemen, why would a major newspaper publish such trash? Simply, I believe it's because of political hatred for our president. It is not an unusual thing to find that in some of the fake news, but the flagship of all newspapers in America, history past, was the New York Times. It has become nothing more than a rubbish hack news print that is politically correct in all that it says, let alone having anything to do with truth. But the political correctness newspapers are not alone. Now, I remind you, ladies and gentlemen, it seems that every major corporation in America is getting on the bandwagon of hate Trump, calling him racist. Starbucks, for example, recently the CEO of Starbucks had a major article. I have that article in my archives. That major article of the CEO from Starbucks said, and it's a female, said she's tired of sitting at a conference room table with company representatives that are white. And she went on to talk about when she sits down to negotiate with companies that are supplying them as suppliers for their product and for making Starbucks products, she is tired of dealing with white men, tired of dealing with CEOs from companies that are, if you please, run by white people. Ladies and gentlemen, that is a sad statement from a national, international organization. They've also said, by the way, if you have a gun permit to carry and if you have a weapon, please don't come into Starbucks. In fact, back in May, you know, Starbucks closed its stores for a day and a half with the purpose of, quote, training white people, white employees, about racism. The New York Times newspaper recently hired a new journalist, Sarah Young. And Sarah Young hates whites. She hates Jewish people, et cetera, et cetera. We'll talk about that in just a moment. You're listening to Let's Face the Issues. This is Dr. Youngblood. We have a caller, I believe. I'll go ahead with your question or comment, please.
Yes, good morning, Pastor. You are handling the theological side of things, but you're also in my turf right now. I have some expertise in the intelligence community and world history, and I want to offer a comment on what you're saying because this is such an important issue, probably the critical issue of our time from a secular perspective, and it goes back to something you and I have talked about in the past. What we're witnessing is nothing more than the maturing of the cultural Marxism that was injected into this country. And because the racial divide is the most obvious in this country, and particularly in the Southeast, because of that obvious racial divide, many, many decades ago, the Marxists decided to probe that interface and try to split America along those lines. They've done it also on gender and some other issues, but the big issue is race. That is why, as a former Air Force pilot and intel guy, and I was privileged to see some material that validates what I'm telling you right now, and that is that this is an intentional attempt to divide this nation so that it can be broken down, attacked from the outside, and destroyed. It is one issue we need to be aware of, and when I retired from the Air Force, one of the little ministries that I felt compelled to participate in was to reach out to the African-American community to help address those issues. I haven't been terribly successful, and that's for reasons on my side and on the African-American side. There are some issues there that I think are almost intractable, but here is the point, and it's the thing we probably have to address. It is the Achilles heel, in my opinion. Of course, that is the issue of slavery. Slavery has existed forever. But we do have some issues that we have to contend with in this country to put this matter behind us and to move forward because, as it says in Acts chapter 17, he has made of all races of one blood. And we sit here in America, black, white, Hispanic, Chinese, Mongolian, Asian, whatever, we sit here gathered in America for the purpose of returning Israel. All the Gentile-represented nations here in America are returning Israel, have returned Israel to her homeland. And that was a definitive moment in human history when a clock began ticking. And that ticking clock is almost at the 11th hour, and is at the 11th hour and 59th minute. And when it strikes midnight, all hell literally will break loose on this earth. This racial division is preventing white Christians and black Christians simply because of the issue of slavery that has been flamed into a white-hot institution of envy in the spirits of black Americans and guilt in the white spirit to make us dysfunctional. We cannot get together as believers. Whether we have together or separate churches doesn't matter. We still can't agree as brothers. And the reason that this nation exists and to work together with the Spirit of God to make America the nation it should be, a beacon to the rest of the world. Instead, we're allowing envy and white guilt to continue to make us a mess, and it will, as our intelligence community knows, and particularly the old KGB knew, will lead to the dissolution of this country. And I'll state that again. It will lead to the dissolution of this country if we don't wake up. Here's a statement that I want to make carefully. This is my opinion, but it's firmly held, and I've put it in writing and going to put it in writing again here fairly soon. It has been the white race that God has used, I call us the Greeks, that has built Western civilization and science to produce in America what we have, but it's also been the cooperative labor of other people. But here's the point. God has given the Caucasian race the ability to do it, but some of the most stupid people on the face of the earth are my color. Liberal white Americans are as dumb as dirt, and they have created this problem with this horrendous liberalism, like this knuckleheaded woman you're talking about, sitting at a table and demanding that people build up a company so that some other gender or some other race can take it over just because of equality's sake. If you can do it, and you reap the rewards. You don't sit there in envy and whining in a seat and say, this is wrong, we have to have equality, so therefore let us take your farmland from you in South Africa and turn it into a collective cooperative that by history has never worked. The dumbest people in the world look like me, Pastor, and we need to stand up to those folks and correct them. I'm tired of people telling me I have to make nice, I have to join hands and sing kumbaya. I am so sick of the liberals that I've seen on TV this week denigrating a great man who needs to sit on our Supreme Court that I'm to the point now where I want to do anything that is legal, to push back against these white monsters, okay? I'm trying to cast out the moat in my own eye. There's a lot in the black community that needs to be corrected. I'm going to be quiet, and you go ahead.
Let me interject a thought and a comment, and then we'll go to the next caller. But sure. The question, the comment that I have, how long is a nation, how long is there an expectation for going back and righting a wrong of 400 and some odd years ago? There's not a human being alive in America today. There's not a human being alive in our globe today that can go back and say, I was discriminated against, i.e., I had a slave problem because somebody made me a slave. How long do you go back? You spoke a moment ago. You spoke a moment ago about the issue in South Africa. In Johannesburg, South Africa is the very focal point of that, where they're going back now and taking land from white farmers that's owned the land and it's been in their families for 600 plus years. They're taking that, and if the white farmers refuse to leave, they're slaughtering them. As a result of that, you look at the economic picture. South Africa and its economy in the past 6 months has plummeted with about 90% unemployment as a result of that act of racial discrimination. two wrongs does not right a wrong. And yet that's what we see taking place. And you talk about the Southeast being a bastion of racism in history past. I want to tell our listeners today, you can't find any greater racial divide than in the Northeast in the United States of America. It's out of that bastion of the Beltway elitist in Washington that's bringing this about, and the elitist news media, the fake news, that has a designed purpose of causing chaos, confusion, and division in America. And I'm here to say to every listener, if you're saved by the shed blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, it's sin, it's wrong, and it ought not to be. God created one race, that's the human race. We have today one family, one race, one Savior, and one responsibility, and that is the responsibility to serve the Lordship of Jesus Christ.
We have to look at history, and what you just talked about, South Africa, there, we already have a precedent for that in a country called Rhodesia, now Zimbabwe. It was absolutely gutted by the same process as now being repeated in South Africa. But the point is, we have an issue that the Marxist can exploit. We need to be aware of that. We need to be able to mitigate that where we can. But you're 100% right. The past is past. And if we continue to allow that to be an issue of division amongst us, then whether we're black or white, we're in sin. This thing has got to be resolved through the Bible, the biblical understanding of who we are. We are a Gentile race of one blood. We have a purpose, and that is, and you teach this in your seminary, it's called dispensational theology. We live in a critical age. The Gentiles have a purpose, and that is the Gentiles of every race and color, and we have been gathered in this nation for that purpose of ushering in these end times. I believe that ain't nobody going to change it, because it, in my view, it's in the Word of God. But it is this racial issue that we're allowing us to divide us. God forbid us. God forgive us. But my last comment is, because I'm trying to cast out the mote in my own eye, some of the most stupid people on the face of the earth are these white liberals that are leading America to race war by allowing the envy that is in bitterness that's in the heart of black America over slavery and other issues. Whether it's right or wrong doesn't matter. It's there. Folks, we got to deal with this as Christian brothers and sisters.
Yes.
Because those who aren't of Christ, who look like us, are demons, just like are in other racial groups, trying to subvert the will of our Heavenly Father. We got to straighten out.
And these left-wing liberals that we're talking about, they're doing it simply to curry favor and to buy votes by dividing America.
You got it.
And I'm here to tell you that America cannot stand if we continue with the fake news divisiveness. And just as we spoke of a moment ago with this Sarah Young, she's an Asian, she's a racist, she hates Jews, she hates white people.
Yes.
In fact, her hashtag happens to be cancel white people. What if the New York Times were to hire a journalist that says cancel the Jews or cancel the Asians or cancel the Muslims or cancel any other group? What if they would have a hashtag cancel black women? What would the New York Times do? They wouldn't have it. The public would not put up with it, but somehow we're tolerating that. And yet there are many today, even as Christians, ladies and gentlemen, that's believing the diatribe, and it's causing envy and divisiveness among the child of God, among the household of faith, and it ought not to be.
Mark 15:10, envy killed Christ. And the other thing we need to realize is the six woes of Isaiah 5. And I'm sure you'll share with that with the folks sometime in the next few weeks. God bless you, Pastor. I'm out of here.
Thank you. God bless you for your call. I believe we have another caller on the line. Go ahead with your question or comment, please.
Yes. Good day, Dr. Youngblood. And I am in full agreement with all that you have been saying. The white racist or black racist is the same, exactly the same. And America, if America was a racist country coming out of slavery, how could we end up with a black president at this time if the country was so racist? I'm fully convinced that black people were not the ones who put the President Obama in office. a lot of white people supported Hansa. And if the country was that racist, and exactly what they're saying, divide and conquer is the strategy, the vital strategy or main strategy of the communist world, Marxism, and it is determined to get down this country over the years, and we have come off a far way under the last president. And I'm saying that if slavery, they're exploiting slavery as something bad or dark in our past. As far as I understand from the reading the Bible, which is one of the earliest writings, we have slavery existed from way back as an economic. Abraham had lots of slaves and servants, and coming right down, God never condemned slavery. Paul writing never condemned slavery. It was a part of, the slaves were a part of the family, and it was no problem. There was no problem in it. People, if slaves were comfortable, they could stay or they could go get their freedom when it come up. The time came eventually when we begin to be inhuman because of materialism, and we treat the slaves badly, and who were the ones who rise up to condemn slavery as a bad system? Christians, people who respected the word of God and valued.
Absolutely.
And they are the ones who rise up to give their lives to put an end to slavery. It was the minority group who did it and so on. And we have the men in history who gave their lives to bring it about. And we have come so far in America till at this time we could have a black president in the White House. And, it has been embarrassing. It's something that we would look forward to. So, well, yes, but it hasn't worked. Just as you started out, saying that we're dealing with his legacy. We're dealing with that president's legacy. He was the one who began to stir up the racism, because Marxism, they must have what to divide the people. Anything that they can come up with to get the people, set them one against another, male against female, children against parents, society against law enforcement, and all of these things is what bring down countries after countries. The same strategy of dividing the people, get them upset, get them rise up, get them be in discipline. If you were teach people to hate the law enforcement officers, that means you're working for anarchy and lawlessness. You're setting people to do, and is exactly what the Americans, you would be. Just pray to God that people has the sad thing today is the amount of Christians who are blindly supporting what is going to destroy them.
Yes, one of the things that we need, and I'm glad you touched on that, there's a grave need, a great need, a serious need for us to turn back to God and recognize that it's the only hope that we have for America is placing our faith and trust in the Lordship of Jesus Christ. Thank you so much for your call today. Let me wrap up. We've got about a minute left. Let me just share with you this. We need to recognize that there is a divisiveness, and that divisiveness, we can call it Marxism, and that's exactly right from the standpoint of what would be called cultural Marxism today, but the source is from Satan. Keep in mind, Satan is here to tear down and to destroy, to undermine, and to prevent what God wants done. Let me just share with you in closing what Ken Ham says in this article in the front page, Answers in Genesis, September issue. He says, in 1975, my first teaching year of science in the public schools in Australia, I taught a class where we covered the topic of human evolution as presented in the textbooks. As a Christian, I explained to the students that I rejected Darwinism and his idea of ape-like creatures evolving into man, as well as the belief that we were different races of such people, both lower and higher. Instead, I explained to my students that we're all descendants from Adam. We're all descendants from Adam and Eve, and then from Noah, and from those who scattered at the event of the Tower of Babel. I taught them that all human beings are one race, one family, equal before God. end quote. And I am thankful for his position on that. He has produced some of the greatest literature and material for Vacation Bible School, for Sunday school teaching, and for Christian homeschooling on the subject of one race. We're all from Adam and Eve. That is one race. And may I suggest, ladies and gentlemen, we get back to biblical truth, biblical facts, and cease and desist listening to the New York Times and or other fake news that's trying to divide Christians and America in general. Thank you so much, ladies and gentlemen, for tuning in today. Looking forward to meeting you on the air once again as we face the issues.
You have been listening to Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood, pastor of First Conservative Baptist Church and president of Conservative Theological University, 120 21 Old St. Augustine Road, Jacksonville, Florida, located just 1 mile south of I-295. You are invited to worship with them 9:30 a.m. Sunday for Bible study, 10:45 a.m. Sunday morning worship service, 7 p.m. Sunday evening worship service, or 7 p.m. Wednesday fellowship meal Bible study, prayer, Bible Q&A, and updates on issues facing our city, state, and country. Tune in again for another Let's Face the Issues broadcast. Also tune in this same station Saturday mornings at 9 for expository Bible preaching by Dr. Youngblood. Remember, a rebroadcast of this program can be heard every evening, 9 p.m. on AM 1600 and 100.3 FM. Tune in and invite others to listen.